Equestrian Legacy Radio's Saddle Up America. And from Nashville, Tennessee, I'm Gary Holt. Joining me in the great state of Missouri is our co-host, Tina Mae Weber. Good morning, Tina.
Good morning, Gary. How are you today?
Doing very well. I'm extremely excited about this great show that we have lined up today. And let's move right into it. We've got a lot to talk about, so tell us who our guests are.
Well, today we have Donna Brubaker, a retiree living the dream, traveling with her horse. Then we travel to Camden, Michigan, and talk with Ned White, owner of The Bluff.
All right, so this is going to be a fun show and a lot of interest from our audience to find out more about Donna and how she does what she does, and also to find out more about The Bluffs. But we want to remind folks that Saddle Up America is brought to you by our sponsors, Trail Guard, 24-hour roadside travel assistance. Trail Guard was founded with one mission in mind, and that's guarding you down life's trails. You can learn more about Trail Guard today at trailguard.org and by Trailhead Supply, your full-service online horse packing supply store, the best in camping gear, horse packing equipment, and horse riding gear. And you can shop with Trailhead Supply online today at trailheadsupply.com. And Equestrian Legacy Radio is made possible by the support of our great sponsors in the General Store, where you'll find everything for the horse lover and folks that love the Western and equestrian lifestyle in the General Store on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. So grab a cup of coffee, take a deep seat in the saddle, and when we come back, we're going to be talking with Donna Brubaker. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world on our free mobile app and online at equestrianlegacy.net.
It's a perfect day to lose our way, watching the world drifting by, living without asking why. What will be, it's a mystery. Throw all the questions away, we'll never know till we try. Let's go wandering past the wondering why, under a rolling sky. How deep is blue? I wish I knew. There is no need to explain, it'll all wash away in the rain. So let it go where it will flow. Leave all the stars far behind till you lose all track of time. What love really means, anything, everything, we'll never know till we try. Let's go wandering past the wondering why, under a rolling sky.
Well, that's Michael Martin Murphy's Under a Rolling Sky, and I thought just the perfect song to start our show today. And there's so many people that would love to be out under a rolling sky and lose track of time and just leave all those worries behind. And we're going to talk with Donna Brubaker now and find out how she has done what she does. And Donna, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Well, thank you very much.
Good morning.
Well, let's get a little background, Donna, on you and how you got involved with horses and where you're from, and how you made the decision to change your life.
Well, born and raised in Richmond, Virginia, and thought that's where I would stay for most of my life. But after going through college to get a degree in education, I taught elementary physical education for a while and changed over to a corporate lifestyle for about 18 years. And into that, I thought, this is not what I want to do. I've always been interested in horses. We never were able to have them, although I did have some friends that had horses, and I'd go help take care of them in order to be able to go on a ride. And as an adult, any vacation, I was looking for some place to go ride.
Yeah.
So I had a good friend there that kind of was pushing me to determine just exactly what I wanted to do. So on one of my vacations out into Colorado, I met with some people who were gracious enough to talk with me about the outfitter lifestyle and what it would take to be on a horse for most of the year doing what you would love to do between fishing and hunting and summer rides. So thanks to them, they kind of set me on a path. And when I got back to Virginia, I started my plans and sold my house, bought a fifth wheel, and headed west back to Colorado to go to school to learn what it was all about to be an outfitter.
Oh, wow. Wow. Well, that just could not have been an easy decision to make, you know, because it's a totally different change in life. You've been in the corporate world. You've got a place that you call home. And how was that adjustment?
Actually, it was a lot easier than I thought it was going to be. I guess I had made the decision that that's what I wanted to do. And a hook or crook, I was going to try it while I was still young enough to be able to do it. And that way, if it didn't work out, I still had options.
Right.
But I just knew I wanted to move on. And once I got out there, it was like that was my focus, and it just felt right.
Well, and so you became an outfitter and a packer. And how many years did you spend doing that?
15 years.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah. I got to work in Arizona, Colorado, Montana, and California. So enjoyed every bit of it.
Well, and as you moved from one location to the other, doing the packing and the outfitting, there had to be some point where you said, I'm going to make another change. And how did that come about?
Well, I ended up in California, and I felt like I had done my dues as far as the long days and 6 days a week, and just a little bit of money. It was enough, but you know, it was a lot of hard work. And even though you enjoy it, it's still a lot of hard work. And here I was getting older, and I thought, I probably need to think about being able to move on and retire. And I had kind of set a plan in motion quite a while ago to be able to retire early enough and not have to wait until it was a little too late. So at 59 and a half, I called it quits and got ready to hit the road.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Wow.
Wow. Well, you know, there are several different things that we want to talk about. One of the things is, and, you know, everybody the last day have been saying, gee whiz, I'd love to do something like that. But, I mean, how do you really go about doing that? You know, I mean, the traveling and the preparation. And we talked a little bit. In our pre-show interview about some of the really technical things that you have to be prepared for when you're traveling with your home and going from one place to the other. It's not like you have a permanent address anymore. So what was involved in just the technical aspect of things? We talked a little bit about mail and licensing and some other things. Kind of address that for us.
All righty. Well, first off, you try to be as debt-free as you can. That way you don't have to worry about going through your savings to try to survive.
Right.
You'll have plenty of money to be able to play on. And I learned this a long time ago, to use a mail forwarding service. That way it's a bonded service that will handle your mail for you, and all you got to do is give them a call, and they will send it to you wherever it is you're going to be for a little bit of time, which simplifies things quite a bit.
I bet it does. That's interesting.
It does, and of course, it's easier nowadays than it was when I first started, but you can do everything online now.
Right.
And the telephones are your computers, so it's so much easier to be able to do all your banking online, any bill paying online. You can even set it up to be automatic, so you don't even have to worry about it. So the simpler that you can make things, the better.
Well, and that all makes sense, because, I mean, if you have very little debt, you don't have to worry about too many bills at all to take care of, and your banking can be pretty much automatic for you. You know, but there are just some really simple things that we kind of visited on the other day about where is your driver's license from? And what about, you know, where do you license your vehicle? I mean, you're not in Richmond anymore, Dorothy. You've gone, you know, totally. It's not like Kansas anymore, Dorothy. You know,
yeah,
I was thinking that too.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I follow you. Well, when I was in California, I was working at a place that a lot of full-time RV folks would come on their way through. So I questioned a lot of them, and they pointed out a few states in this country that have advantages to being a full-time resident in their state. So I selected South Dakota. They're very full-time friendly. And through my mail forwarding service, I was able to get my truck registered. And then all I had to do was show up in South Dakota to get my driver's license. And it was just kind of a pretty easy process.
Wow.
Yeah, I knew that I wanted to be in a place that I didn't have to live there.
Right.
To be a resident, and South Dakota afforded me that. They don't
have
any
state income taxes. Yeah, I think I'd even check. I'd go further and check on, you know, the cheapest, you know, to get licensing for your truck and your trailer. And because, you know, each of these states are different, and it's unbelievable how different they are. But that would take a little research. That's...
Yeah, it did. And also insurance for your vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
I found that it was so much less expensive in South Dakota, believe it or not, than it was when I was living, obviously, in California. But, for very little money, I'm able to get all the coverage I need for both my truck and my trailer. It takes a little research to check around to see what you want to do and where you want to go as far as claiming a state, but that was my preference.
Yeah. Well, those are just things that people need to think about if they anticipate doing something like that. And even if people are not living full time out on the road, you still have those other issues about your banking and your mail and those types of things that
absolutely
need to be addressed. Even if you're just traveling, you know, 3 or 4 months a year with something like that.
Absolutely.
So that's pretty interesting. Well, we have to pay a bill right now. And so let's talk about one of our, those are good things to do. And so let's talk about one of our great sponsors. When we come back, you have got to have some amazing stories about the people and places that you have been to and the folks that you've met out on the on this journey. And so we're going to come back and talk more with Donna about that in just a moment. But right now we want to remind folks about Trail Guard. And Trail Guard provides 24-hour roadside travel assistance. You have unlimited vehicle towing to a dealership that services your make vehicle, a second tow vehicle to get your trailer and horses either home or to your destination, 24-hour coverage for you and your vehicle or one that you're driving or anyone driving your vehicle, and a 24-hour personal assistant to help plan your trip, and much, much more. Trail Guard was founded with one mission in mind, and that is guarding you down life's trails. And you can learn more about Trail Guard today at trailguard.org and take advantage of their 4th of July special, where they're offering 20% off through the 4th of July. And if you're a Legacy Club member, you get an additional 20% off. So you can find out more about that at Trail Guard by visiting them again at trailguard.org. And when we come back, we're going to talk more with Donna about what life is like on the road. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
He sees Arizona. All the promise of the desert at sunrise. Soul of wonder, landscape of surprise. Yes, he sees Arizona in her eyes. Hers are the hands that have seen the sun. Her heart the chamber single shotgun. Wild is her watchword, and beauty is her name. Part of the West he never will tame. And when the wind is lifting her long hair with the scent of the Sonora, God alone can hear this cowboy's prayer, granted in that woman standing there. And to his drought this woman is his rain. Welcome storm to wash away his pain. Her thunder and her lightning unrestrained. And equal to this cowboy she has claimed. Hers are the hands seen the sun, her heart the chamber of a single shotgun. Wild is her watchword, and beauty is her name. Part of the West he never will take. the promise of the desert at sunrise. Soul of wonder, landscape of surprise. Yes, he sees Arizona. He can hold but cannot own her. Yes, he sees Arizona in her eyes.
That's Mary Kay's Arizona in Her Eyes, and when I was selecting the songs today, Donna, I was thinking about all the views and the vistas that you must have seen in your travels, and that just kind of painted a picture.
It was a very good selection.
Yeah, yeah. So as you've been traveling, I mean, I know that you spent time in Arizona as an outfitter and a packer. What are your favorite places to visit?
Oh, gosh. Everybody asks me that, and that's kind of a hard question to answer. Most of the time, my standard answer is wherever I am at the current time.
There you go.
Because everything is so unique. The desert in the springtime, the fall colors up in the mountains, everything's just so different. There's a lot of places that I like to go back to, the Black Hills of South Dakota and the Rocky Mountains. And, of course, you want to spend some good time down in the Arizona or Louisiana area in the wintertime because you can still ride then.
Right.
But, so,
Well, I think what you said about where you are at the time is probably a really good answer, because I think too many of us don't live in the moment. And if we take the time to appreciate where we are and the beauty that surrounds us, whether it's out on the desert, and take time to pay attention to the cactus when they're in bloom, or just a sunrise and a sunset, and they all look a little bit different depending on where you are in the country.
That's true.
So pretty cool. Well, what about some of the folks that you met along the way? Surely you have met some extremely interesting people.
Well, I've met a lot of people across the country and have made a lot of nice friends. One particular friend is actually responsible for me knowing as much as I know about being on the road. I met her in California. And believe it or not, we were wine tasting. That's how we met. And she had actually been on the road for 6 years doing the same thing that I was dreaming about doing. So I picked her brain, and that's where I learned a lot about what kind of trailer to have and if the amenities in the trailer and how to get myself ready. So I credit her with a lot of the information that I had to be able to get on the road and not make some of the bad mistakes that sometimes happen.
Right.
And she's been a constant friend, and we traveled together following each other around the country for about a year and a half before she needed to go back to California. But we still keep in touch and hoping we're going to be able to get back riding together here before too long.
Oh, that's great.
And then again, there's other folks. I have some, Louisiana's got a special place for me. I met a bunch of folks down there, some Cajun friends, as I call them, just would give you the shirt off their back and cook some of the best food you'd ever want to have.
Love so Cajuns.
Always have a good time with them, whether I'm camping with them or just visiting at their home. It's always a good time.
Well, it sounds, I mean, you just have to meet some great people out. And do you meet, have you met any other folks besides the lady that you just mentioned that are kind of doing the same thing that you're doing?
No, I haven't. I have met some people that do it for extended periods of time, anywhere from 3 months to 6 months, but they have a home base that they go back to.
Right.
Usually they're from up north, and are when I meet them, they're down in the southern area over the wintertime, so they're just escaping the snow so they can enjoy their horses.
Right, right.
I think a lot of retirees do that.
Oh, yeah.
They'll go up north for the summertime and then down south for the wintertime, which I think is really neat. And I know I had run into you in Alabama, and your story just amazed me. And I'm so thankful that you're on the show today, because I know this is a subject that a lot of people want to know about. You know, they're curious about it and everything. Have you learned from this journey that you're on?
Pardon that? What was that again?
I said, what have you learned from this journey that you're on?
Oh, a deep question.
It is.
Basically, I think I've learned that I'm a lot stronger person than I thought I was. I am perfectly happy off on my own or with other people around the fire or out on a horse ride. I have a confidence that I don't think if I'd have stayed where I was in Virginia, I don't think I would have ever had that. I credit that with my journey out here into the country and on horseback.
Right. And I guess with the way you realize what your true luxuries are.
Oh, you bet.
Mm-hmm. I think that's absolutely awesome. Well, tell us a little bit about your horse. You know, we didn't touch base on your horse. He's kind of an important part of this.
He's a very important part. I got him, probably 16 years ago. He's now 25 years old. And I call him my mutt because I have absolutely no idea what he is. I bought him in Arizona, and he's been my ride ever since, whether I was working and especially since I've retired. And he's still going strong. I do make sure that he gets really good quality hay, and he's on Equine Senior, and I hunt up as much as I can to make sure he's got a good chewer, and I try not to work him too hard. You know, I try to go to places where there's some sightseeing available for me. So we'll go on a nice ride one day, and then I'll go sightseeing another day. That way he keeps him fresh, and he seems to like having a little break here and there.
I expect he would. I expect he would.
I'm sure he does. How does he adjust to the different feeds as you travel? Have you had any trouble with staying with the feed that he's on as you travel?
Sometimes I do. Not here lately. I like to keep him on alfalfa, but that's not always possible, especially over towards the East Coast. But usually you can find some good quality grass hay, and I blend that off with the alfalfa to get him to where he can be totally on the grass hay. And then I'll supplement him with alfalfa pellets because he needs that extra protein. So, and usually there's a tractor supply somewhere around when I need feed. And so I just run over there and get what I need.
We need to get Tractor Supply as a sponsor after that endorsement. So. We all love Tractor Supply. We all love Tractor Supply. You know, and we're gonna run out of time in just a minute. There were a couple of things that we wanted to mention real quickly that we had talked about, and one was the feed situation, because people worry about sudden changes in the feed when they're traveling with their horses, whether they're doing it for a week or 2 weeks or 3 months or like you are all the time. The other thing was this health certificate situation that we talked a little bit about that can be a challenge. Mm-hmm. And the vet care and the shoeing, and I think you kind of addressed the two latter things about the campgrounds where you stay.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I'm either staying at a horse camp or at friends who have horses. So there's your, you know, there I have ready access to who is a good vet that's being used, who's the good shoer. And then by having a vet available, it's easy enough to get a health certificate. Unfortunately, you can pay anywhere from $5, $10 to $50, depending on where you are in the country. And
right.
That doesn't even include the farm call. So
isn't that crazy?
It's a little crazy, but, you know, that's the requirement, so you got to have it. And so depending on where I'm going, I try to time my travels out so that I can get to a good place for longer than a week on one health certificate before I have to go hunting around and getting another one. So it can get a little tricky sometimes, but, you know, it's just something you got to do. So you just go ahead and take care of it.
Right, right. And those are some of those little technical things that we were talking about earlier in the program about just some things that have to be done and just part of the process. Well, I wanted to, we didn't talk about this earlier, but I'd like to ask, are you kind of journaling your journey as you travel?
Well, I started off doing it, and then it got to be work.
Mm-hmm.
I was busy having too much fun sitting around the fire at night, and then next thing you know, I've got a week's worth of stuff I need to write down. So I've kind of done it a little differently. I jot on my calendar every day when I go for a ride and with whom. And, of course, I take pictures everywhere I go and get that on the computer and put, you know, catalog it as far as what state and what horse camp and who I'm visiting with and trails I'm on. So I have enough information there that kind of helps key in my memories if I, you know,
right.
when I go back looking at the pictures. But
right.
journaling,
right.
writing something down, even with the computer, it just got to be work. So I said, no, it's got to be a different way. So that's what I do, and it seems to work for me.
All right. Well, you know, it's fascinating to visit with you and talk about how the whole process came about for you to be on this journey. And I'd love to have you back on the show again to talk a little bit more about where you're traveling and what you're up to and maybe some of the characters that you've met along the way. So I know there's some gotta be some characters that you've met. So would love to have you come back another time.
All right, I'd love to.
All right. Well, we've enjoyed talking with you, and we've been talking with Donna Brubaker, and just fascinating story and fascinating information. And Donna, we look forward to talking with you again in the next few months. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, right. Donna.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All mm-hmm. right. Well, it's great to talk with Donna, and golly, there are just so many people that really have a dream of doing what she's doing, but to be able to take that step and follow your dream, it's a rare person that's able to actually do that. So really enjoyed talking with her. We want to remind folks that Saddle Up America is brought to you by Trail Guard, 24-hour roadside travel assistance. Trail Guard was founded with one mission in mind, and that is guarding you down life's trails. You can learn more about them at trailguard.org and by Trailhead Supply, your full-service online horse packing supply store. With their storefront location in Kalispell, Montana, you can shop with them online today at trailheadsupply.com. And when we come back, we're going to be talking with Ned White at the Bluffs in Michigan. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
you set your eyes on the miles left to go, you're tall in the saddle. You keep your head high and your heart just as open as the prairie is wide. You're tall. Says you're singing, an old rolled up blanket and a dented canteen, and your pillow stone. But you can't be weighed down by the things you don't know. You talk.
Nestled along the St. Joe River, this jewel of a campground offers an opportunity to reconnect with nature and friends while riding along miles of trails and beautiful lakes at the Bluffs in Michigan. And we welcome a second-generation owner, Ned White. Ned, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. I'd be glad to be
Hi,
on
Ned.
Here.
Hi.
Glad to have you. Well, it's pretty cool to be part of a second-generation operation, and tell us a little bit about how the Bluffs was started and when.
In like 1951, my dad bought a farm with a house, and well, it was originally was 40 acres, and I think he paid $5,000 for the house and a barn and 40 acres. And
oh wow,
times have changed a little bit since then, but. But he continuously added acreage to it, so now we have about 300, and it's been about 300 acres for the last 25, 30 years. And he just had a, and it's very hilly, rolling land, and the St. Joe River goes right through the middle of the property, and it really isn't tillable ground. It's too hilly. And so he decided that, well, people kept asking him to come out and ride horses. And so he thought it was, you know, after a while, he thought that maybe he'd start charging people and make, get a dozer out here and make some trails through the woods. And it just gradually progressed into what it is now, where we're pretty busy on holiday weekends and weekdays. You know, you have a few people straggle in and out, but mostly we're regulated. The amount of people we have is pretty much regulated by the weatherman. If it's a forecast for sunny and dry, lots of people come. And if it's like it's been the last month, it cuts into the amount of riders you have. But
right,
the trails
right.
get pretty muddy if you get a lot of rain, and we've had a huge amount of rain recently. So they're starting to dry up. It's not too bad now. So
yeah. One of the things that Tina May kept talking about yesterday when we visited with you a little bit for our pre-show visit was the fact that it's just a cute place. I mean, you've got some really interesting things on your property there. And let's talk a little bit about what you have there at the campground.
We have four cabins that are really, really nice cabins. They're two of them are rustic. They don't have running water or electricity. They have outhouses, but they're beautiful cabins on a little lake that's toward the back of the property. Two other cabins more on the south side or north side of the river, which do have water and electricity, and they're really, really nice, but they're pretty much rented on and off. The two that have water and electricity are rented year-round, and the back two are just people come out for a weekend or a few days, or right now there's people in there for this week. But we got a couple of nice ponds with fish. We got a lake toward the back that's full of fish.
Have you stocked those ponds yourself?
Yes, yeah. And it's all wooded. The whole property is wooded, mostly hardwoods, but there's probably 70 or 80 acres of pines that are, well, now they're 40 or 50 foot tall, but they were planted about 30, 35 years ago, something like that.
Oh, wow.
And my dad was pretty picky. He would never let anybody cut any trees. So there's a lot of big mature trees. We have lumbered it some in the last 4 or 5 years because of the ash borer, just to get them out of here and get some value out of them. But mostly there's a lot of big trees, big oak and maple and hickory and just beautiful woods.
Yeah. Well, and you've got a covered bridge on the property too, don't you?
Yeah, we have a covered bridge that is really pretty neat, goes across the river, and we have a lot of photographers locally that come out and take scenery pictures, but they take a lot of pictures for kids when they're graduating. And also we have two or three weddings on or right by the covered bridge every year. And it's quite an attraction because it's something that not very many people have, that's for sure.
Well, now, was that something that's been there for a long time? I mean, did your dad build that, or how did that covered bridge come to be?
Yeah, he and some local contractors built it in the early 70s. And it's not always that easy to maintain because, well, a year like this, the water is just rushing and causes a little damage to something every year. But we've been able to keep it going and keep it fixed. And it's a nice bridge. I mean, it's very solid, and you can drive your vehicles across it and all that. But it's just like in an out of the way place. You just don't expect to come over the hill and find a covered bridge there, but it's very nice.
It's picturesque. It's very picturesque. It's really neat. Tell us a little bit. You got a lodge?
Yes, we do. Yeah.
Okay.
Small.
And
well, it's mostly a place for me to live in the summertime while I maintain this, because there's a lot of work to it. A lot of, I mean, you always, because it's all in the woods, you have trees down every storm, and you have mowing to do, and, you know, the camp area part is, well, this year you do all your mowing and then you start over again because it needs it again. So you're constantly working out here, and maintaining roads. They get washouts and ditches and all that kind of stuff. So you're constantly working on keeping things as nice as they can be. So.
Right. Well, the place is really cute. Now let's talk a little bit about your campsites, how many you have and what kind of accommodations you have with the campsites.
All right. There's about right around room enough for 30 horse rigs. We get about that many every holiday weekend. It's rustic. You don't, there is running water, but there's not hookups for the individual campers. And there is no hookup for electricity. There is lots of picnic tables there. There's high lines for tying the horses and hitching post. And, there's a frost-free hydrant right in the middle of the area. So, I mean, there's water right close and available, but it's not individual hookups. So.
It sounds like you have plenty of firewood available.
Oh, yeah. With the ash borer, wiped out all the ash trees, so all of them are dead, and we've cut hundreds of trees, and there's hundreds and hundreds that are going to waste because you just can't keep up with that much. So. And ash trees grow in, river bottom areas where there's a lot of water. And so since the river goes right through it, there was a lot of ash trees on our farm. So, but, after you get them all cut out and they're down, everything else crowds in. You don't even notice that they're gone.
Your campsites, so do they accommodate big rigs?
Yes. Yeah. We've had to cut a couple. My dad would never let anybody cut any trees. Well, there's kind of a sharp bend to get over to the camp area, and people with big rigs could never come before. And it ended up one of the trees died, so we cut that tree out, and people can make the turn now, and any size rig is able to get in here now. And it didn't used to be that way, because one of them that kind of had a horseshoe appearance at the top, he would never let anybody cut. And that's the one that prevented people from getting in here. So, but it's all clear now, and all sizes of rigs come. And, they camp there, and there's a pond right here close for kids to fish and things like that. So everybody has a good time. We don't have anybody that just comes once. Everybody keeps coming. So.
Are most of your campsites shaded?
About half. Probably about half.
Right.
Some are out
in
the open, which sometimes in the woods is a bit of an advantage. I know you like shaded areas, but this year you're better off if you're out in the open with the wind blowing, because we have a lot of water, you have a lot of mosquitoes, and the less wind you have, the worse the mosquitoes are. So. This year, the areas that are in the open are more in demand than the ones that are shaded and protected, because that makes a good home for mosquitoes.
None of us like those bugs, so that's a good thing. We got to take a quick break, Ned, and talk about one of our sponsors. And when we come back, let's talk a little bit about some more of the activities that you've got, because, I think there's some water activities there, and I want to find out about this bridal shower that we kind of addressed a little bit.
Okay.
So we're going to come back and talk more about that and maybe talk some about the trails as well. But Tina May, we have something called the Legacy Club. You want to tell our audience about that?
Yes, I do. Our Legacy Club is free. The benefits are great, like discounts and promos from our Legacy Club sponsors, select campgrounds, dude ranches, and even Western Adventures. As a Legacy Club member, you are automatically entered into our free prize drawings, like our end-of-the-year prize of a two-horse Hydro Horse watering system from our premier sponsor, Hydro Horse, and our monthly prize drawings like this month's $100 gift certificate from our select sponsor, Showtime Trailers. You can sign up to be a Legacy Club member at equestrianlegacy.net. This month's Legacy Club member winner will be announced when we get back.
All right, so that's going to be fun to announce the winner for this month's prize drawing. And we want to remind folks that Saddle Up America is brought to you by Trailhead Supply, your referral service online horse packing supply store. With their storefront location in Kalispell, Montana, Trailhead Supply doesn't just sell packing supplies. They stand behind every product they sell, and they use them. Trailhead Supply is your online source for the very best in horse camping gear, horse packing equipment, and horse riding gear. You can shop online with Trailhead Supply at trailheadsupply.com. When we come back, we're going to announce the Legacy Club winner. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
God save some lucky men to be cowboys, 'cause no ordinary man can wear the name. Hearts of gold and hands of leather, and that restless spirit no one will ever tame. Branded by the land, befriended by the wind, you may never pass this way again. But something in the wind is saying that your time is now, boy. Your daddy calls you a drifter, I call you cowboy. Well, that voice of freedom is calling you down the line, and you don't know where you're going, but you know what you leave behind. So you're saddling up now to chase your dreams, to show yourself and the world what freedom really means. You've been branded by the land, befriended by the wind, you may never pass this way again. But something in the wind is saying that your time is now, boy. Your daddy calls you a drifter, I call you cowboy. She's got eyes as blue as the sky. Whoever said cowboys don't cry? It's just something deep inside saying your time is now, boy. And your daddy calls you a drifter, I call you cowboy. Yeah, your daddy calls you a drifter, I call you friend, I call you cowboy. I call you cowboy. Well, I call you cowboy.
Well, that is Bryn Hill, I Call You Cowboy, and it's time to announce our monthly drawing winner.
Oh, love it. This month's Legacy Club winner of a $100 gift certificate from our select sponsor, Showtime Trailers, is Jane Sykes of Illinois. Congratulations, Jane.
All right, and so congratulations to Jane Sykes of Illinois, and we remind folks you can enroll in our free Legacy Club by visiting equestrianlegacy.net, and you might be next month's winner. Well, Ned, there is a lot to talk about still about things at the Bluffs, and one of the things I'm curious about is this bridal shower. I saw some pictures that were just kind of fun on your Facebook page. Tell us about the bridal shower.
Well, people come here and have a lot of fun. The last two summers, we've had ladies that were getting married, and they came out with all their girlfriends and had a bridal shower, except it was spelled different than the regular bridal. They rode horses and just had a good time, girl time. And there was a bunch of them. And they pooped and hollered. And anyway, they had a great time, and we've had people do that two summers in a row now. So,
oh wow,
it's been a good idea. I guess it evidently was on Facebook, and then somebody else thought it was a good idea, so they did it also. So,
yeah, and that's B R I.
Wait, have a bridal shower.
B-R-I-D-L-E shower. So that's pretty cool.
Right.
Cool. Well, you also have folks that come in for other things as well. I noticed that there were some photographs of a St. Jude's ride that was run from your place.
Right.
So do you have different types of events like that throughout the year where folks come in? And I know you mentioned earlier some weddings. I would think that covered bridge would just be the ideal spot for photo ops like that.
It is. Yeah, and we've had, graduates have their graduation parties out here and birthday parties, and the Boy Scouts and the Cub Scouts come out and do a lot of hiking, and like you said, the St. Jude's came out, two or three years in a row. We kind of open up to groups, and quite often they don't pay anything, so... I mean, you got to do a little charity stuff too, so.
Right. It's always good to give back to the community. It really is. Well, and I saw a lot of happy looking folks wearing some Bluffs t-shirts too. So do you have those available there at your campground?
Oh, yes. My sisters get it right into that. They're big into shopping and clothes, so I kind of avoid that in the internet, but they're young. They're younger than me, and they like to do that stuff, and I don't. I do all the work, so I don't have time to do any of that stuff. That's the way it seems to me, anyway.
Yeah, well, they can keep you on the lawnmower and let them take care of the internet promotion. Yeah. That's a cool deal.
Go ahead.
As we talk about other events and everything you have there, why don't we talk a little bit about some of the other activities and other attractions that are near you? You know, the fishing, and you got a river there. What are some of the other things that
a lot of people come and fish. There was a group here last week that caught some real nice fish on the lake back there. There's perch and bass and bluegills, a few pike, the typical Southern Michigan fish that you get in any of the inland lakes. And then the river that goes through here is full of pike and some smallmouth bass. And there's also kayaking. A lot of people come out and kayak on the lake. In the past, people have put in here to go down the St. Joe River, but because of the ash shore, and ash is growing near water, usually the trees are all dead, and they all, you know, a good bunch of them have fallen in the river, and nobody's taken the time to cut them out. I'm sure that that'll get done, but there's been a lot of trees come down, so right now the river isn't open like it always had been in the past. But
right. I almost bet that you might have a fish fry or two out there every now and then after some of your campers get finished with catching some fish.
That's pretty common, that they catch fish out of the ponds or lake and fry them up. And sometimes I get invited. If I look like I'm working and work close to them, then sometimes I get roped right into having to eat fish.
Oh, that's
it works
life.
Out for me sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a little bit of a beggar sometimes too.
Yeah, they see poor Ned's just working himself to death. Let's feed him some fish. So that's not a bad life. Not a bad life. Well, you've got a lot of forest. You said there are all types of wildlife throughout the area and is a photographer's paradise. Talk to us a little about what you can see out there.
Well, a lot of deer. I mean, you got every kind of wildlife. You got pheasants, a lot of turkeys, geese on all the lakes and the river and the ponds, and a lot of birds that nest here. We actually in the summertime have some people from, you know, bird watchers organizations that come out, and there's some ex-professors that have come out to study the different fungi that we have here in the woods, mushrooms in the springtime. They come in the fall and get, or well, late summer, that and get some kind of a mushroom, and I don't even know what it is, but they tell me I should take a chance and eat it. It's really, really good, but I've heard too many people about getting sick and eating the wrong kind of mushrooms. The morels, everybody eats those, but some of those others, I don't know.
Yeah,
I avoid them.
Better know your mushrooms.
Yeah, that's what the guy told me. He says these are fine. He's a professor of that kind of stuff, so he knows, I'm sure, but I'm not going to take a chance.
Oh, gosh. Well, I've seen some photographs, too, on I think it was on your Facebook page, of some absolutely beautiful flowers and some of the photographs that people have taken out there. The lakes are beautiful. The river is gorgeous. And I know sometimes it can be kind of fast, but you've got a facility there, Ned, that people, if they want to just get away and just reconnect with nature and with each other, it's the perfect place for that type of thing.
Yes, it is. A lot of people just come out just to hike and look at nature. You know, the animals are running all over, and it's a place you know, most people have to go 300 miles to the Upper Peninsula or the west end of the UP to see the same stuff that we have here. It's kind of a unique spot because it's not typical southern Michigan type of habitat. We're about 8 miles from the Indiana border, about 8 miles from the Ohio border, right in the center of the state of Michigan and very south part, but it's not typical of what people think of as this, the landscape here. So
right,
a lot
right,
different.
Right. Well, and I think you mentioned yesterday that the trails are, you have trails that are suitable for every level of rider to come mm-hmm. out. And so that's always important for folks to know that. So you've got some that are easier trails and some that are pretty challenging as well. And
right.
Yeah, you mentioned that folks have been, you know, they don't usually just come once, they come back time and again.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that come every week. I mean, you know, that they may live 10 or 20 miles from here, but they come out every week just like clockwork. So and very few people ever come just once. It's pretty nice.
Yeah. Well, it is a beautiful place. As Tina May said, it's cute. The cabins are really attractive, and that covered bridge, and it's really nice to find a place that has so much water around, so that you can enjoy things like the kayaking and the fishing and the fish fries. And so if we have an audience that is listening and they want to go visit the Bluffs, if you catch a bunch of fish, just be sure and take pity on Ned and invite him over. So
yeah.
That'd be great.
I'm in need. I'm a desperate retiree.
There you go. Well, you've got a Facebook page, and I think that is listed. And I was trying to find it the other day, and I made a mistake, and I just put in the Bluff, but it's the Bluffs with an S. And
right.
So they visit you there. I don't think you don't have a website yet, do you?
No.
Okay. So you can get all the information by visiting and liking their Facebook page, and that is the Bluffs on Facebook, and do that. And Ned, is we didn't talk about your seasons. I know that you have hunting in the fall, but what is your season for camping, for horse camping?
Well, anytime after the 1st of January, and it runs up to the 1st of October. We're open those hours or those days, and you can come 24 hours a day. It really doesn't matter. They can come right in and sign in. There's a little book, a waiver to sign. And after the 1st of October, we close it because, we've always leased it to four hunters that actually are ex-professional baseball players. And they come out and you know, they're not here very much, but they just love the peace and quiet, and they like to get away from people, and they just enjoy it out here, and they pay us enough so that you really can't afford not to do it. And so that's what we do, and it makes easier for us because nobody has to be here and work or anything. You just can leave it to themselves. And
all right. Well,
so
it
that's
is
what we do.
All right. Well, that is the Bluffs, and again, it's a beautiful location, beautiful forest, beautiful lakes, and water there. And so, when you come, bring your camera, bring your fishing pole, and of course, bring your horse. And Ned, I appreciate you taking the time to be with us today and talk with us about the Bluffs. Thanks for joining
us. Well, it was my pleasure. It was a good conversation, and
all right,
hopefully, some people will come out. So,
all right.
Thanks,
appreciate
Dad.
You. All right. Thanks
Thank
so much.
Thank you for having me on here. Bye.
All right. And so that's Ned White, and that's the Bluffs. Visit their Facebook page, The Bluffs, with an S on the end of it. And you can find out all the information there and see some absolutely gorgeous photographs of a place that I would encourage you to go if you want to get away and just reconnect with family and the nature that we have to enjoy. So, again, we want to remind you that Saddle Up America is brought to you by Trailhead Supply, your full-service online horse packing supply store. Go shop with them today at trailheadsupply.com and by TrailGuard, 24-hour roadside travel assistance. You can learn more about TrailGuard by visiting them at trailguard.org. And when we come back, we're going to be visiting more with Tina Mae Weber. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world on our free mobile app and online at equestrianlegacy.net.
They say this is the last roundup. The boss is gonna call it quits. They added up the dollars on the bottom line, and they said it no longer made sense. What do you do when you're a cowboy, trapped in a time you don't fit? Where do you go when there's no rope to throw and nobody's out riding? Long may you ride hang on to your cowboy pride. We'll sing to your glory, may the West never die. Long may you ride. Long may you ride. Who's gonna pass along the stories? Tell all those old cowboy tales. How can you shine a light on the cowboy way of life if you've never even ridden a trail? Who's gonna hang on to their memories? Cherish all the legends of the West when nobody needs your dying breath. Will you still remember the best? So long may you ride and hang on to your cowboy pride. We'll sing to your glory, may the West never die. Long
Jones, and long may you ride. And Tina May, it was a fun show. I enjoyed finding out about the Bluffs, and golly, how many people would love to take that step and do what Donna's doing?
Oh, absolutely. She has bit the bullet, and she is living her dream.
Yes, she is. She is.
And
well,
it was...
That's right. She's living a lot of other people's dreams as well. So, anyway, fun show, and we look forward to having Donna back on again and catching up with her as she's making this journey through life. And some good information about folks that might be thinking about taking off, whether it be for a few months or longer, and some things they need to be aware of in preparing to travel like that. So, good information, and just a fun show. So who do we have coming up next Tuesday on Saddle Up America?
Hey, you got the day right.
I almost got it wrong just for fun. But
well, next week we have Backcountry Horsemen of America, as we do every first Tuesday of the month. Then we travel to Eminence, Missouri, and we talk with Bill and Patty Byrne, owners of Crystal Creek.
All right, so that'll be a fun show next Tuesday at noon. And this Thursday on the Campfire Cafe, we're going to be experiencing a little something different. It's going to be Pearls and Spurs. And you'll want to tune in to that show, where we put cowboys together with luxury trail rides, and that will be a lot of fun Thursday at noon on the Campfire Cafe. Then on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock on Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale, her special guest is going to be a very talented young lady, Carolyn Martin. And so that will be a fun show as well. So, Tina May, you've got some exciting things happening with your saddles. You're adding a new saddle line, aren't you?
Yes, I am. It's a new TNT trail saddle made by Steel Saddlery. Very excited about it.
All right, so we're looking forward to finding out more about that saddle. And then, of course, you've got the new one that just has come out by Circle Y. And you have a website that is just really hard to find. What is that?
It's at www.trailride.horse.
All right, trailride.horse. So,
pretty cool little domain name.
It's pretty cool. Not too hard to remember. And some check out her saddles on there and the other tack that she has as well, and her TNT camp kitchens. And outfit your trailer and get ready to ride and be out on the trails. Fall is not too far off. I know a lot of people are kind of slowing down a little bit as we roll into July and August with some of the heat, but the mornings and afternoons are good times to ride, and we will have a glorious fall that's coming up as well. So anyway, another good show today, and do you have any final thoughts that you'd like to leave us with?
Well, I just want to, my thoughts and prayers go out to everyone out there that's dealing with drought, fires, and then on the other half, the flooding that's out there. You are in our thoughts and prayers.
All right. So it's been a challenging year with the weather, but as Tina May said, our thoughts and prayers are with all those folks that are going through these different extremes. And we want to remind you, as always, if it's Tuesday or Thursday or Sunday, if you climb in the saddle,
get ready for the ride.
Get ready for the ride on Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net. And we're going to close the show out with a great song by the Horse Crazy Cowgirls called Colorado Trail. And we thank you, as always, for listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio.
Ride all the lonely night, ride through the day. Keep the herd moving on its way. Weep all ye little rains, wail winds wail, all along Colorado Trail. Eyes like a morning star, cheeks like a rose. Laura was a pretty girl, God Almighty knows. Weep all ye wail, winds wail, all along the Colorado is the sky. Wish I'd stayed in Abilene, nice and warm and dry. Weep all ye little rains, wail winds wail, all along the Colorado Trail. Stars are fading in the sky, the day's gonna break, the sun will be